Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod, everything All-Star has been announced in the NBA, including the rest of the All-Star teams, as well as the Rising Stars Challenge and the Dunk Contest participants. Joel Embiid is not happy about his snub from the All-Star game. We'll tell you who else got snubbed. We discuss all the trade buzz surrounding Carmelo Anthony. And Jack and I will rate the top 10 centers and point guards in the league. And as always, we'll cap it off with a DBS of the ex-Oklahoma City Big Three. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Hello, hello, all you beautiful people across Australia and indeed across the world. My name is Nick, using hashtag TheRealNJ. And thank you so much for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You're listening to episode 1.15 on this Saturday, the 28th of January. And with me today, we have the J-Man J-Pod, Jack Manuel. How are we, mate?
Good. Just trying to soak up as much sun as I can, Nicky boy, before I head back to the land of the depressing, cold, dreariness that is London.
I like the cold weather, but...
You'll be heading over... Oh, you're heading over in summer, though, so like that's not...
The end of summer.
Yeah,
heading
no,
into
this,
autumn.
Yeah, well, like, still, you'll be experiencing London heat, which is something to behold as well.
Which is kind of weird.
It's like 25 degrees, yeah. It's not that big of a deal. But I'm going to miss the sun of Australia, and I'm going to miss my friends. I'm going to miss live JBT. But
yes,
with this,
live JBT.
This will continue. This will continue. I mean, I'm going to miss it as much as you hate faux zippers, apparently.
I put faux zippers.
What are
on
faux zippers? I still don't understand what they are.
I had to put this in the intro because it's just something I want to talk about. I was hanging out with my
girlfriend. I'm giving you 1.5 minutes to speak about this.
I was hanging out with my girlfriend, all right? And she has got a few tops that have zippers on them.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
But those zippers don't zip pockets. They're just zippers.
Oh, right. So, like, say,
so
like...
fake zippers.
So, like, in a leather jacket, how they're you can't actually put anything in the pockets.
Because they're not pockets. They're just zips.
But zips are swag, mate. Zip swag. Hashtag zip swag.
I don't get it.
We're going to be talking...
I don't like it. I want nothing to do with it.
Nick,
faux zippers can get out.
Alternative zippers. Hashtag alternative facts. Hashtag alternative zippers.
Alternative wins. Hashtag Brooklyn grit.
Hashtag Brooklyn grit, mate. Take note.
Yeah, no, I had to put it in because I had to talk about it. And Chelsea, if you're listening, which I... You will be.
Hopefully.
I will force you to listen to the first 2 minutes of this podcast.
That's the only part she'll listen to because she knows nothing about basketball.
I just don't like faux zippers.
All right. Well, don't blame Chelsea. She's not a fashion designer. But calm down, mate. That guru is going to come off perfectly in the podcast. NBA news with Nick Nothing and the J-Man. What have we got?
Let's get kicked off here, shall we, Jack? We've had some bizarre injury news with... Enes Kanter recently breaking his arm.
Yep, his right forearm.
Yeah, his right forearm punching the bench. And he'll be out for up to 8 weeks. We've seen this a few times in league history,
Kevin
I guess.
Love, Amari Stoudemire. Players just can't control their temper.
Blake Griffin, if you want to, you know, substitute an inanimate object for a trainer.
For a human being.
Still broke his hand.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so silly. You see this in sport in general. I know, like, who was the AFL player that smacked the ground and severely broke his hand?
I can't remember.
All right, but it happened.
Yeah. I think it's something about sportsmen and, like, you know, the adrenaline and testosterone gets you going that you just do stupid things. I don't know. I remember studying a little bit in sports society at Vic Uni, Footscray Park. Hashtag, what's their, I don't know what their hashtag is.
Hashtag shameless plug.
Hashtag shameless plug for VU. where they say, because athletes are so, like, hyped up, like, you basically have to be so on that you can't expect a lot of, like, athletes to switch off. So, like, when you watch the video, and I recommend everyone do it, you look at him, and he hits it initially, and he's fine. He, like, gets up using that right forearm, right hand, and then about A minute later, he looks at it, he's like, ow. So it's like...
Yeah, it didn't hurt initially, and then because of the adrenaline.
The post-reaction.
But
this is going to affect the OKC. I wonder how their bench lineup is really going to be affected, because Enes, however you want to say it, contributes a lot of points coming off that bench, 15 to 20 a game. And I don't know where that offense is going to come from now, but... You know, we'll have to wait and see. A month is a long time.
I think Westbrook might have to pull his weight a little bit.
What do you have to do? Like
score 70 points?
Quadruple doubles.
Yeah.
James Harden just scored like a 50-point triple-double today.
Second one.
Yeah, I know, which is saying something. Anyway, in other news, there was a lot of All-Star weekend-related news, including the announcement of the Rising Stars rosters, United States versus the world. Nicky boy, you want to go with the... No, I'll do United States, you do the world, because I don't know why. You're an European...
I guess, and you're clearly American.
Yeah, I am, buddy.
That's racist.
That was... It's going to be huge, Nicholas. It's going to be huge.
Huge.
For the United States, we got Devin Booker, Malcolm Brogdon, Marquise Chris, Brandon Ingram, Frank Kaminsky, Jahlil Okafor, D'Angelo Russell, Jonathan Simmons, Karl Anthony Towns, and Miles Turner. Who we got for the world?
And for the world, we've got Joel Embiid, Dante Exum,
Australia,
Buddy Hield, Nikola Jokic, Trey Lyles, Emmanuel Mudiay, Jamal Murray, Kristaps Porzingis, Domantas Sabonis, and Dario Saric. So,
who do you think will win it?
The United States.
But this will be like
there are some powerhouse names in the East. Yeah, Joel Embiid, Kristaps,
Nikola
Jokic.
Those bigs are massive.
Those bigs are massive, but they've also got Dante Exum.
Yeah, Dante. Hey, don't hate on Dante, mate. Dante's going to be the only one for either team defending out there. Like, with any...
Joel Embiid.
No, Joel Embiid's going to be out there dancing and finding the cheerleader. I love Joel. But I reckon the world are going to really big shot at this.
Yeah, but then you look at the other side. And
do you want to make a sports...
You've got Okafor, another offensive powerhouse. Devin Booker, who is the best shooter on this list.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that.
Jonathan Simmons, another big man. The best center of the... Possibly the best center next to Joel Embiid, if you want to go there. Possibly the second best center in Miles Turner.
Do you want to make a sportsman's wager?
All right. I'll be overseas.
We'll figure something out. Like, I don't know, some sort of wager. Anyone on Facebook, hit us up or whatever. But we'll figure something out.
This isn't going to come through till the All-Star game, though. So
exactly.
We're going to have to remember.
We'll remember. We'll listen back, and our listeners, I'm sure, will keep
out. Let us know. Keep us honest.
In other news, Nicholas, in the dunk contest, unfortunately, 2017 is going to have no Zach LaVine.
It's a travesty, mate. I missed the last dunk contest with the Gordon and LaVine.
It was one of the best things I've ever seen.
And I missed it. I was at work. And I vowed to myself, I said to my girlfriend, listen, Valentine's plans are off.
Even though it's on February 17th.
Even though it's on February 17th. So I'm going to have to try and renege that. But I said, they're off. I'm watching the dunk contest this year. And now it's going to be no Zach LaVine.
Yeah,
I mean, he is the entertainment. I guess he doesn't need to defend it for a third time, but...
Look, at least there's Aaron Gordon. And... Derek Jones from the Phoenix Suns, a rookie from there. I've seen his And-1 mixtape in his YouTube mixtape. It's pretty sweet. I reckon he's got some hops.
They're still going to be amazing, but it's not going to be the same.
Yeah, no, it won't.
It's just because this rivalry was created last year.
Oh yeah,
between Aaron Gordon and.
But you don't want to tarnish that legacy by Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins only did it once. Didn't they? I'm pretty sure they only did it once.
I'm
and everyone
sure.
remembers that one year in the 90s. You don't need to repeat history twice. Sometimes,
I'm so looking forward to a rematch.
Doing a sequel to Step Brothers. Like, Step Brothers is awesome. Let's not do an Anchorman. Anchorman 2 didn't turn out too well.
No.
Let's just leave 2016 dunk contest as is, and hopefully Aaron Gordon can pull some other chair, toilet, sitting dunks, and maybe even Glenn Robinson III, who Woj reported this week via his Twitter page, that will also participate in the contest. I think he plays for the Pacers, Glenn Robinson III. The second and first ones clearly weren't good enough to participate in the dunk contest. But it'll be must-watch television, no doubt, and Nick and I will be...
Oh, yeah, the All-Star break is always good fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to that, the Rising Stars lineup, just to see those young guys.
At JBT, we'll be all over that. We'll be on the Twitters, we'll be on Facebook, we'll be doing some live videos and coverage of it all. You know what? You know us. Hashtag ball is life at JBT. Nick, another huge rumor. Huge. It's a huge rumor, Nicholas. Huge.
You're pretty good at that.
I actually am.
You're pretty good at that.
Alec Baldwin, give me a call, mate. So we've got Carmelo Anthony still in the news via trade news. And this week it involves the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Clippers, and the Boston Celtics. Carmelo Anthony for Kevin Love trade was touted earlier in the week. Later in that week, that was refuted. And the one making the rounds now, the Boston Celtics one, was refuted because they don't have the pieces and Boston don't need him. Jay Crowder is basically a better version of him anyway. But the Clippers seem to still be interested. One, does Melo fit on the Clips? And two, do either party want to get this done? I mean, we know Phil Jackson wants him out, but does Doc Rivers has had his fair say. Can this happen? Will this happen? Should this happen?
I'm unlearned on the whole trade. You know, a lot of the trade stuff goes straight over my head. So whether it can happen, I'm not too sure. Whether it'll work, I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
They're kind of lacking, you know, they've got
a wing.
Blake Griffin and, well, yeah, they're lacking a wing, but they're lacking a leader, if that makes sense.
So, CP3, bro.
He's out.
Yeah, that's
and
point.
Then they've got nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But
here's that team. They need some. It's been unfortunate for the Clippers because Griffin's been out and is only just coming back on a minutes restriction, and CP3's been injured.
Does Melo provide leadership, though? I don't think Melo and leadership are the same sentence as
Yeah, but he might provide, I don't know, some sort of solidarity.
Yeah, I guess. I think that's probably the opposite of what he's been providing
on
the Knicks.
At New York.
Yeah, that's good.
At New York, it's a toxic environment there with Phil Jackson, and even the fans have turned against him. It's not a good time for Melo at New York.
I mean, we'll be discussing this further in our social media segment because we had, of course, the Clippers bandwagon man himself, Maggers, hitting us up on the social media. So we'll be talking about this a little bit later, guys. But after the break, DP of the week, the all-star snubs in the reserves, and much more. We'll be right back.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook at JBT Podcast.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. We'll kick off here with a bit of Bulls discussion. Jack, you want to take it from here?
The Bulls were the worst of the week on the starters. The Bulls have overshadowed the Cleveland Cavaliers and the New York Knicks this week in terms of an organization being in dire straits. And that's saying something. So we thought we'd discuss what needs to happen there and should the Bulls trade Jimmy Butler? Now, this is in response to the whole controversy regarding Dwayne Wade's and Jimmy Butler's comments post the Atlanta Hawks loss, and then Rajon Rondo's Instagram post in response. Nick, let's address that question directly. Should the Bulls trade Jimmy Butler?
No, he is still a superstar.
Is he a super duper
star? He will become one.
One of 13 from the field against
Heat
today.
That's not the first time he's done
that. And that is in response to what happened in the last game. Like, you can't back up. You've got to back up your words. Like, that's just literally
he is also
put up or shut up.
He's also put up multiple 30-plus point games this year. He's also pulled the Bulls in the month of January. He's pulled the Bulls through the month of January with a few clutch wins. He can still lead this team, but in light of what Rondo said, I mean, he makes some valid points in that he mentioned that, when he used to play at Celtics, his vets never used to choose when to turn it on.
Yeah.
And that is true. I mean, obviously, Butler doesn't choose to play badly, but there are some games where he has some
severe
stinkers.
Lulls. Yeah, severe lulls.
Dwayne Wade, in the same regard. I mean, he's had some real shooting woes this year.
But he's a 35-year-old, so I think this lies more on the shoulders of Jimmy Butler. And I'm going to play devil's advocate in here and say that if the Bulls want to show some balls here, then, and following today's game against the Heat, which we've just watched the end of, I believe Fred Hoiberg left Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler out there in the final minutes where they were down by 15, rather than pulling them and saving them. I think that sends a clear message to them. Like, that you guys need to, like, put up or shut up, simply. Like, Jimmy Butler needs to stop going to the media. Like, he was saying, Mother Effer's got to care more. Well, if Mother Effer's got to care more, Jimmy, then you got to make them care. You're the leader in that locker room. And he was saying, like you know, other players shouldn't be taking those shots down the stretch against the Hawks and stuff. Well, at the same time, I agree. Yes, you get the ball to your Jimmy Butlers, your Carmelo Anthony, your LeBron James. But if the coach is drawing a play up, then you got to go to that play. Like the other day, Fred Hoiberg told Jimmy to call a timeout to the referee. And did you see what he said in response?
Yeah,
he literally just refused. Like ignored him. He like gave him a look where it's like, what? No. He went down and scored, albeit. But like that blatant disrespect. Like Fred Hoiberg doesn't have the players. Jimmy Butler doesn't have the locker room. It seems like the Chicago Bulls are a team divided right now, and I don't know what's going to fix it. Whether they blow it up or whether they stick with this and try and ride the ship out, because the Knicks have been very shaky. The Cavs are back on track with an 8-point win over my Nets. Not really, that's said in jest. But I don't know, the Bulls need to really get something going, or else this season and the next few seasons could really fall off the wagon.
Yeah, but if you trade Butler, who is already proven that he can be at that level.
But you can get so
but
much.
But that's they're gambles. You can get so much. You could get 3 first round picks.
Yeah, and the Celtics,
for someone like Jimmy Butler.
The Celtics would do it.
But again, those are all gambles for something that is close to assured in Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, but what's close to assured in Chicago isn't a championship, let alone even a top 4 seed. You might have, and you've got Jimmy Butler, and you're trying to build around that with Dwayne. I don't know what. I think a lot of it not only lies on Jimmy Butler, but the organization and the owners and the management, because it is a travesty that you pick up Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo and pair that with Jimmy Butler. Like, that just does not work.
No.
Three guys that need the ball more than anyone, that are ball handlers. You running this around Jimmy Butler, and you get some role players around him, try and find yourself another star that isn't 35 years old, or another locker room coughing or wheezing, whatever, you know, the worst one is in Rajon Rondo. And I think they've got to make some moves. They've got to do something at the Bulls, or else they're going to become the new Knicks.
Well, yeah, their trades last year kind of reminded, it's kind of reminiscent of what the Knicks had done in the same season.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, are you trying to build around this marquee player, whether it's Porzingis or Butler? And their trades suggested no.
Yeah.
Like they were trying to, I don't know, bringing in Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo, it's like, are you trying to push Butler out to a role position?
Both teams are in a win-now situation, but yeah, they don't have the roster to do so.
No.
And I think biting the bullet and making some moves on either side of the coin, whether it's the Knicks or the Bulls in the case that we're talking about, I think the fans would respect. I don't know. In one of those big market teams, like, it's iffy whether they're going to support that. But I think New York would if they got rid of Melo. Like, they'd be happy to get. Like, they consistently boo Melo on a regular basis when he goes to ISO plays. So maybe the Bulls need to have some bulls. And actually, you know, get rid of Jimmy, get rid of Dwayne, get rid of Rondo. What do you do? Like, I don't know. Maybe Chaz.
You can't fill your team up with first round picks, though.
I think it's worth a shot.
Where are these kids going to learn from?
Look at Philadelphia.
And how bad have they been for so long?
And look at them now. Nick, what do you have to do, mate? You need to trust the process.
100% Chicago fans do not want to go through 7 years of shit.
Oh, God, no.
No. I don't even think they will back. They will not support a Butler trade.
Maybe
no,
like,
chance in hell.
Maybe like a... Well, Melo wanted to go to Chicago, but no, Melo would be... Imagine
the fans have turned against Melo. I'm willing to concede. Like, the fans will be happy with a Melo trade. As, you know, as bad as... Or sorry, as much as Melo doesn't want that trade. Because he was saying today, I mean, the fans in today's game, the fans were chanting trade Melo, and, you know, he's feigned mouthing. I don't know, it's kind of iffy. But it's like, oh, I don't want to go after he hit, like, a go-ahead bucket.
Yeah.
So it's... it's really, it's a different situation, the one in the Knicks, but I don't see the Bulls supporting this at all. I mean, they've got their player right now.
Who do you think is going to finish? Who do you think has a better future? Like, say, in 5 years' time, we're looking back at episode 15 of our podcast. Who do you think is going to be higher in the standings and have a better future? The Knicks have a Porzingis, I guess.
Well, yeah, the Porzingis is younger, and you'd think they've got more time to build around that. Like, Jimmy Butler is reaching his peak now.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So
Porzingis is only touching on that. Anyway, on to superstar players. We're going to move on to the All-Star snubs, and there were plenty. As soon as the All-Star rosters and reserves come out, there's always talk of the snubs. And we had Joel Embiid literally is the best social media presence in the world today.
He's pretty good.
He is so good. And he tweeted the other day, following his snub from the Eastern Conference reserves, once again, the popular vote didn't matter. How good was that? It is absolutely true, Joel. I am going to back you on that. It is a huge snub. Huge.
Huge.
Do you agree with him?
Yes, of course. I had him in my All-Star team. I mean, we'll go back through what the reserves were and what we predicted.
Yep.
We both had Embiid in our team. A lot of experts had Embiid in their team. It makes sense because of the minutes restrictions. He missed a lot of games. He doesn't play back-to-backs. So in that sense, you can kind of understand it. But pure performance, he's been outstanding.
And it's basically, it's Kemba or Joel. And, like, the East doesn't have a center. Like, they don't have a center.
I mean, they've got Kevin Love, who can play at the five. But
yeah, but, like,
he hasn't played at the five for a long time.
Kevin Love at the five is like LeBron James at the five.
Yeah.
Like, it's, and I mean, not that it matters, but, like, I mean, if they're going to go all guard, I'd like to see that all guard lineup. Like, literally just put all five out there.
See, that's what I mean. Like, I don't mind the fact that there are all guards in the East team. I mean, if the East is stacked with guards, which they are, and they are the best players in the conference, then sure, put them in the All-Star game. I don't mind that. But Embiid is very well deserving for an All-Star game. He's played amazing. He's a phenomenal player.
And like
he doesn't have bad games.
No, and he would add so much to the All-Star weekend. And I'm glad at least he's on the world roster.
Yeah, the rising star. That's another thing. With his minutes restriction, he wouldn't be able to play both.
Oh, no. It doesn't really matter. It's just the honor of being able to put that on your resume and on your rookie year. And he deserves it. And, I mean, hashtag alternative facts. Maybe Joel Embiid is the only center that deserves to be on it. In the East, he's probably is.
Yeah. No, like, I would definitely say that. I mean, I had the likes of
Hassan Whiteside, maybe.
I had the likes of Al Horford in there.
And he did make it. And he deserved it.
Yep.
I didn't have Al, I don't think.
I don't think Al made it.
Al did make it.
He did make it?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Well, we're going to have to look through this, which we are going to look through in a sec. But yeah, I mean, we've got other snubs here. I mean, Joel Embiid is my biggest snub.
What about
one
the
of
West?
The biggest.
What about the West?
Well, we had some very interesting snubs from the West. Rudy Gobert, one of them, which is huge again.
Huge.
It's huge, mate.
It's huge, Nicholas. Huge.
Yeah, I mean, he's the Defensive Player of the Year in my mind at the moment.
Agreed.
He is a phenomenal, like, he does his stuff offensively.
It was looking,
but it's that's not the highlight of his game. Point is, he is having such an amazing season. It's just because he plays an unglorified style of play that he's not going to get into the All-Star game.
Yeah,
and it's ridiculous.
Horford is somewhat of a omission, I guess. I've got the SI's teams on right now. And so we'll run through the teams quickly. So the starters, obviously, we talked about last week. Kyrie Irving, DeMar DeRozan, LeBron James, Giannis, and Jimmy Butler. The East reserves, John Wall, Isaiah Thomas, Kevin Love, Paul Millsap, Paul George, Kyle Lowry, and Kemba Walker. The West starters, we had Stephen Curry, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, and Anthony Davis. And the reserves, Russell Westbrook, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, DeAndre Jordan, DeMarcus Cousins, Gordon Hayward, and Marc Gasol. The West have three centers. Four if you count. We've got Anthony Davis. Draymond Green plays a little bit. DeMarcus Cousins. And they've got five.
Yeah.
Five centers.
They're good players. They're all, like, that's what I mean. Like, if it doesn't
and
matter
what. Kat was unlucky to miss out.
Yes, lately his game has been absolutely phenomenal. But if the centers are the best players in those conferences, then get them in.
Yeah, and the, I mean, the West is always so much harder. And I mean, Damian Lillard was yet again snubbed alongside his teammate, CJ McCollum. I think the stat was he's averaging like 24, 6, and 5, which is the only player ever to average that and not make an all-star game.
He's averaging 26 this year.
He is perennially just overlooked.
It's like Mike Conley. It's just like the traditional snub. Like, maybe Damian Lillard's probably a bit more outrageous than Conley.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that Conley still hasn't made an all-star game is astounding. Yeah.
Yeah, you could say he almost deserves it as much as his teammate Marc Gasol does.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's been injured a lot. If he had played the whole season, he'd be in there.
And one that a lot of people haven't mentioned due to his injury, but based purely off the fact that, you know, if you're going to go off the best players, and because at the end of the day, people look back at All-Stars, Chris Paul certainly deserves to be an All-Star reserve. He is the point god, as Maggers like to say. He is the best point guard ever, the most I've seen in my lifetime in terms of pure point guards. And he deserves that spot. I mean, none of that banana boat squad are going to be together again. No Dwayne Wade, no Carmelo Anthony either.
Yeah, I know. It's understandable because he recently got injured, but that doesn't matter. You give him the spot and you put in an injury replacement for him.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to respect what he has done this year. Even in the games that he's missed, he has done enough to get an all-star game.
He deserves it, absolutely.
He's averaging 18 points a game. He's got... Oh, hold on, I've got the stats here. 18 points a game, almost 10 assists a game, and his efficiency rating is 27.
That's insane.
Which is insane.
He's probably the most efficient player in the NBA, I would say.
I'd have to have a look at the league leaders in that, but it's astounding. And I'd say that the only reason he didn't get in is because he recently got injured.
Yeah.
If he did not get that recent injury, even with the previous injuries that he's had, he would still get in.
He deserves 100%. He deserves it on his resume. And I mean, we're going to look back on the careers of players like Mike Conley and Damian Lillard, and they're going to be like only like maybe one or two-time All-Stars, when we know that they're better than that. We being people that follow the NBA and quite closely. You could make a quality team out of those stumps, and who knows? There's still a few weeks to go until All-Star weekend, and you know there's always injuries and injury replacements. But enough with the snubs, Nick. Enough with the snubs, because we could go on all day. It was the talk of Twitter, the talk of social media on Thursday when TNT announced it. But we're going to probably create a bit of controversy of our own here, Nicholas, because as a DP for this week, I proposed to Nicholas that we both do our top 10 centers and top 10 point guards. Just to, you know, because lists and opinions is what makes NBA media and NBA, what keeps things like this podcast out there. So I've gone with my top 10 centers. We're going to have a bit of a chat about it. You can say if you agree or disagree. Then we're going to go through Nick's top 10 point guards. Do you want me to kick it off, mate?
Go for it, mate.
Okay, so starting at number 10. And for those that don't know, have a look at Bleacher Report's top 30 centers for the year. Their power rankings came out a week or two ago, and they're similar but skewed a little bit to mine, and I think I've hit the nail on the head.
Of course you do.
it was very tough at the top, and I had quite a discussion with you and Chaz especially about those top five, but I've gone with my gut here. Okay, so at number 10, we have the Indiana Pacers' young star Miles Turner. At number 9, Miami Heat's Hassan Whiteside. At number 8, Boston Celtics' Al Horford. At number 7, the young gun Nikola Jokic. At number 6, another young guard in Joel Embiid. At number 5, all-star Marc Gasol. At number 4, all-star snub and youngster Timberwolves' Karl-Anthony Towns. At number 3, the defensive monster, Rudy Gobert. At number 2, the brow himself, Anthony Davis. And the number 1, my number 1 center in the NBA right now is Boogie! Boogie is playing huge this year, Nicholas. Huge. He's been huge. What do you think of my list, mate?
I like the top 1.
The top 1? The 2 to 10?
There are others. Yeah, I mean, Boogie is the best center in the league. There's been questions on his defense this year, and rightly so, but his offense is doing more than enough to combat that.
You would have been happy with the research that I did on this as well, Nicholas. When I was like talking about it with Chaz, I was obviously bouncing it with him a bit, and then I was also on Basketball Reference looking at some in-depth stats made about PER, efficiency in terms of defensive efficiency, offensive efficiency, PER, and I mean, you can only go so far with stats, and I mean, the stats say that, look, there's a lot of people would say have Karl Anthony Towns above Rudy Gobert in terms of pure talent and his ability to affect the game offensively, but Rudy Gobert defensively is an absolute monster.
Is the best one on this list.
And
which is why I'd probably put him above Anthony Davis.
And I think I've just realized that I've made a huge snub, and I'm going to, in DeAndre Jordan, I'm going to replace Hassan Whiteside on that list with DeAndre Jordan at number 9. Because he's an all-star, obviously, and he's been putting up numbers eerily similar to Utah Jazz, albeit on a better... they're quite similar teams, but I would be remiss. I'm allowed to change. I see the error in my ways, and I know Maggers will be happy with the fact that I have done so, but I'll put DeAndre Jordan at number 9. He could go anywhere in that list, but, you know, Hassan Whiteside, for me, he's tapered off a little bit lately. His Snapchat game is still on point, one of the best Snapchats in the NBA right now. But those are my top 10.
You're going to rank the 10 centers in terms of Snapchat game?
In terms of Snapchat game, I think, you know, if Joel Embiid's Twitter game and his social media game, he would be number 1 in the NBA.
Of course, mate. No, number 1 in the world.
But yeah, offensively, DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis are just unparalleled. They are both just superstars. DeMarcus Cousins leaves a lot to be desired in terms of his ability to lead the Sacramento Kings. Anthony Davis has the potential to be an MVP contender, and that's been talked about.
Yep.
Rudy Gobert has improved tremendously on the offensive end this year, and his game is only scratching the surface of his potential. Karl Anthony Towns, we know, he has, alongside Anthony Davis, the potential to be an absolute beast in this league, redefining that center position. It's good that this list, Nick, took me so long because it shows that, you know, people still value that center. Marc Gasol at number 5. It was hard because he's obviously an all-star reserve this year. But, you know, he's aging a little bit, but he's still producing absolutely amazingly. And I had him above Joel Embiid just purely on the fact that, you know, he's on a more winning team, and the Memphis Grizzlies have just done it, and he's done it so consistently. So it was almost like a legacy sort of pick. Joel Embiid at number 6, he headlines that class with, you know, your Karl Anthony Towns, your Nikola Jokic, your Miles Turners as the young centers of the future. I mean, it's a point guard heavy league, but these young blokes are giving them a run for their money, these 7-footers. Nikola Jokic is probably one of the best passers, not only as a center, but just as a general big in the NBA. He's going to flirt with the triple-double for the rest of his career. He is a phenomenal passer. And, I mean, Basketball Breakdown posted a YouTube video outlining this. Check it out. Very good. Al Horford, similar to Marc Gasol, just a consistent, consistent player, and he deserves to be in the top 10. Quite low maybe at number 8, but, you know, he doesn't carry a game like these other players.
Yeah, I mean, he's got other players around him that
absolutely
can do that.
Isaiah. Yeah. And at number 9, DeAndre Jordan. A bit low, yes, but I've got him in there, Maggers. I'm sorry, mate. Luckily, I just put him in. But yeah, DeAndre Jordan's been putting up similar numbers to Rudy Gobert. Defensively killing it. Dunks like there's no tomorrow. And then at number 10, Miles Turner, who I don't think is getting enough love. I think a lot of NBA insiders would be. But this guy, similar to your Jokic, can do a lot. He can shoot.
He doesn't get a lot of media time at the Pacers.
No.
But he is an amazing talent.
When you got PG-13 there, he sort of... But if you build... I reckon you build around PG and Miles Turner, you get maybe one or two other pieces, then Indiana could have something going there because Paul George is still quite young, coming back from that injury last year, and Miles Turner, similar to a Rudy Gobert, is just scratching the surface of his potential.
So I'm gonna throw you a few centers here.
Go.
To potentially, go, you know, rock the boat a little bit. Dwight Howard?
Dwight Howard was one that I had on the fringe, Nick. And I think it's almost due to the fact of recency effect where it's like his past history at Houston is so so in my mind that it was hard to get past that. And he has been producing quite consistently with Atlanta, and it's just purely though that on that team, Paul Millsap and probably Dennis Schroeder are the two players that I think probably dominate more than a Dwight Howard. You could argue with that quite on a nightly basis that they change those roles, but you know, Dwight is definitely balling.
All right. Now this is not a biased thing, but I'm gonna throw in Marcin Gortat this here because he is a good offensive and defensive player.
Correct.
Having one of his better seasons. So where does he fit in this?
Well, if we're comparing like a Marcin Gortat, I could also compare him with the Brook Lopez.
Brolo
is also, but Brolo doesn't rebound enough for a big man for me. I love my boards, and he barely averages 6 a night from memory. Marcin is amazing on those boards, and his physical presence is something to behold, and his pick and roll game is on point with John Wall. But I think if you put Marcin Gortat away from a superstar point guard like John Wall, then I think Dwight Howard has the ability to dominate, whereas I don't think Marcin Gortat has that talent and skill set. Dwight Howard's skill set isn't great to begin with. Like he knows those dinkers and dumpers, and you know he can jump, and he's defensively always been a beast. So maybe, you know, every player knows how to do a pick and roll. But yeah, those players, if I was doing a top 15, I'd definitely have a Gortat, I'd definitely have Brolo, purely offensively, and I'd definitely have Dwight. Dwight would probably be my, you know, number 11, number 12 with Hassan Whiteside.
He has been balling this year. Very nice, Jack. I think I'm satisfied.
Yeah, please, Nicholas. The day but the night that I leave, I'm glad I made you happy, mate.
Good stuff, mate. Now, for my less researched point guards. So I've rated... you know, my own personal opinion on who the top 10 point guards are right now.
Everyone has an opinion on point guards, especially Nick.
And this one was hard. Obviously, the point guard position is extremely stacked. So top 10 was difficult. So we'll start off here. At the 10, we've got newly elected All-Star Kemba Walker. At the 9, which I might get a little bit of hate for this, Kyrie Irving.
Oh,
at the 9. Number 8, we've got Damian Lillard. Number 7, my John Wall, who's a little low, but I couldn't...
I like that you haven't been biased there, Nicholas.
Yeah, I couldn't put him
some objective bias.
Which is crazy, because the top 6 is so goddamn good. So John Wall at 7. Number 6, Kyle Lowry. Number 5, Chris Paul. Number 4, Steph Curry. And in the top 3, we've got Isaiah Thomas, Russell Westbrook, and leading the pack is none other than James Harden.
I don't have a lot of arguments here, Nick. Kyrie Irving, I think a lot of Cavs fans would have your head, and they would eat your face.
That might have been more of a personal, not vendetta, but a personal choice just to leave him lower. I don't think he has the amazing impact. That being said, he just came off a 49-point game, which they lost.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing. But he doesn't quite have the impact that the rest of these players above him have on the court. Like, he has more of an impact than Kemba Walker.
Yep. I wouldn't say that. I'd say Kemba Walker has more of an impact on Charlotte. But his game, his offensive game has gone through the roof.
This year, Kyrie is
still one of the best creators of any. He can create his own shots better than anyone. We saw it.
Great handles, great ISO.
Yeah, we saw it in the NBA Finals last year, that shot over Steph.
Yep.
And speaking of Steph, a lot of Golden State Warriors fans would be surprised to have you at number 4 under Isaiah Thomas.
What's your
reasoning there, mate?
Isaiah Thomas's clutch, I guess, more than anything. His ability to bring his team back from the brink and just finish games. Like, his ability to finish is just amazing. No one gets to the rack better than Isaiah Thomas. His ability to finish around the rim, being a 5'8"?
5'9", yeah.
5'9" player is incredible. I watched the Wizards games fairly closely, and when we played them recently, his ability to finish around Gortat with a massive 7-footer in his face is
he's the
second
king
to none.
He's the king of the fourth. But Steph... I mean, Steph's a, you know, he's your two-time MVP. He's your leading jersey seller with LeBron James.
Yep, definitely. There's no doubt he's a very successful player.
Best three-point shooter out of all these guys.
Yes.
And the fact that he's not even in the top three, Nick.
That's probably the top three. Well, the top two are MVP contenders.
Yeah, look, I agree with your top two. The only thing I probably would have only changed would have been at Steph Curry at three and Isaiah Thomas at four.
And fair enough. Like, I don't have any objections to that. There are arguments for both of them. I feel Isaiah's impact on Boston is greater than Steph's impact on the Golden State. Not saying that Steph's impact on Golden State is poor.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying.
There are games where Steph Curry this year has not shot well and has not put a lot of points on the board, but they've still managed to get those wins with the players around him. When Isaiah doesn't turn up in points, he will give his team 15 assists.
Yeah, and I mean, we need to preface this by saying that this is right now.
We are purely based on right now. Yeah. Yes.
So like centers and point guards.
In terms of like greatest point guards,
Chris Paul would probably be number one.
Chris Paul would probably be number one. Steph Curry would be two.
And probably maybe a Westbrook. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is in terms of how they're performing right now. Obviously, Steph's role has changed in that Golden State team as well. That has a big influence on that.
Yeah.
So he's at four. Yep. I mean, he's clearly better than everyone preceding him.
Yep.
The people above him, you can argue for Steph Curry being number one. Maybe, if you're a really hardcore Golden State fan, but I can't see him overtaking James Harden.
I'll give you one name who was probably unlucky to miss out, and you probably had, you know, maybe number 11, number 12. Mike Conley, we were just chatting about him. Where did you have him?
Yeah, it's more the injury woes with him. I'm a pretty big fan of Mike Conley.
Yep.
When he plays, the Grizzlies become such a better team. So I was talking about Isaiah's impact at Boston. His impact in the Grizzlies is amazing. When he plays, when he's healthy.
Yeah.
And that's the key thing with Conley. I would have had him in my All-Star game, like I said before, in my All-Star reserves if he had stayed healthy. So he's definitely in that fringe. If he had stayed healthy, he would probably be above John Wall.
Yeah. I'll chuck a few names at you, Nick. And these guys probably aren't top 10. But I want to see what your opinions are on them and where you think they rank among those top 10 or in terms of their games. Eric Bledsoe has been probably doesn't have the consistency, but what do you think of his game?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there, Jack. It's consistency. He can put up games close to 40 points. I think he was
almost our point guard of the week until today.
Bloody
James Harden.
James Harden.
It's like he knows that we're doing our podcast.
So, oh, yeah, JBT do their podcast today. I better put up a 50-point triple-double.
Exactly.
gets in just in time. Yeah, I mean, Bledsoe, it's same sort of deal. Like, he is the heart and soul of the Suns. He is the core of that, of the Sun. He's the core of the Sun.
The core of the Sun. he's hot, hot, hot.
He is an amazing player. I can't overstate that enough, but
it's
just the fact that the 10 was so stacked. I mean, you can't put him in over any of those players.
Isaiah Whitehead from the Brooklyn Nets, mate. Come on, where is he at?
He is about 74th.
Out of 30 teams?
Yes.
I don't think there are 74 point guards in the league. Hey.
Yeah, but point forwards? Giannis?
I hate you, Nick. Give my Nets some love. And he's number 9 and number 9. Caris LeVert and him are number 9, number 10 in the rookie ladder, mate. So
yeah, that's good, mate. You've actually got some stability. Well, not stability, but like direction.
A future, somewhat.
But yeah, those are my top 10 guards.
I like it, Nicky boy. I like it, mate.
Beautiful.
We might do a few more rankings throughout the year, but we've still got shooting guard, small forward, power forward. Maybe we might do that next week.
Yep.
Might give the other guard spot. I might chuck in the power forwards because...
We've got no other discussion points to talk about.
Then we might have to chuck it in anyway. I mean, it's always a good one. It's always good to bounce it up about our opinions. Our last EP of the week, Nicholas, is one I find... Another sort of very bancy one that you could chat about ages for with friends, anyone at the pub. This is following Steve Kerr's comments earlier in the week. Steve Kerr, in one of his many media conferences, Steve Kerr thinks Steph Curry may be more popular in his prime than Michael Jordan in his prime. And we know Steve Kerr has probably better opinion on that than anyone else, more informed than anyone else. I quote, "The crowd size is similar, but the biggest difference is the children." The children, Nicholas.
Somebody please think of the children.
Is the children that gravitate towards Steph. They all identify with him. He's probably that rare superstar where an 8-year-old kid can go, he looks just like me, maybe I can do it. I like what he's saying here, and Nick, do you think that Steve Kerr makes a valid point in the fact that of Steph's popularity to none other than the GOAT himself?
He definitely does.
Or is it sacrilegious?
He definitely does. You know, obviously, he's the second most popular player that plays the game right now.
Along with LeBron James.
His game, I think, is the key difference. Obviously, they're immensely different players, MJ and Steph. But his game is easier to
emulate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they see, you know, kids see Steph shooting threes, so they just shoot threes all day.
Yeah, and they just...
And it's such a glorious feeling to sink a three.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's the thing. That's a lot of kids actually think they can do what Steph did, whereas MJ was just so superior, so out of this world, so godlike in his athletic prowess that it's just like, I can't do this.
Yeah, I mean,
and we want to be like Mike, as the saying goes, but no one.
I mean, obviously there were kids aspiring to be like MJ, but.
How many times have we tried? Well, I always try and dunk because I want to be like Mike and do the stretch dunk across the half court like he did in Space Jam. Still the greatest moment in sports, basketball, film history, let alone.
That didn't happen?
We'll move on. It's like Nick's not hearing, doesn't know that Santa Claus isn't real either.
But Santa's not real?
Santa.
But just one more point on this Steph thing. It's a matter of how they're perceived by the public as well.
Yep.
And Starters touched on this, and I liked where they went with this. Because of the massive influx of social media and its everyday presence in everyday life, players seem more grounded than they used to be.
Right.
So players like MJ seemed larger than life. They were bigger than, you know...
Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. They were bigger than Jesus.
Yeah.
Whereas players that constantly use social media, they're constantly in your life.
And the ability to connect with the fans is a lot more
like Snapchat,
present.
You can see these players just in a personal setting.
Yeah, Facebook Live videos.
It softens their...
Image.
Image, yeah. Yep. So they seem more relatable. So
and I think Steph comes across...
Exactly, yeah. And Steph being like a family man... really, obviously grounded. MJ was not those things.
MJ was like the...
MJ was a prick.
Yeah, MJ is literally like... He makes snowflakes look not unique.
He was... MJ was one of a kind and one of the great... And possibly the greatest player to ever play the game.
And possibly one of the greatest sportsmen to ever...
Of course, like one of the best athletes.
Of all time.
But in terms of sheer popularity, I feel that... Steve Kerr has some valid points, and the fact that it's more the fact that he seems more relatable.
Yeah,
and kids with social media and the Googles and the
don't add an
the
S.
YouTubes.
Don't add an S on the end of any website, you idiot. We'll be back with more with JBT's podcasts.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. Be sure to head on Facebook and give us a like.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. We will start off here, mate.
Nick, this is going to be a huge JBT. It's huge, Nicholas. It's huger than my wall. It's huge.
That's pretty big. It's pretty huge.
But it probably doesn't going to cost as much. Literally, if we paid all these players in our team, it would not cost more than the wall will.
Of course. The wall is $20 billion or something like that. Anyway, not about politics, especially American politics, anyway.
JBT podcast, just politics things. Political things.
Political things, yeah. We'll move on with JB Team of the Week. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is where we pick a fantasy basketball team for the week just gone. One player per position, obviously. So we'll kick off here with the point guard. And Jack has not updated this, but that is fine. So we'll start with the shooting guard position.
Well, but we could literally, you could just say
I don't know the stat line.
Okay, he had a 50-point, James Harden had a 50-point triple-double literally hours ago against the Philadelphia 76ers to lead his team. Only player in NBA history to have two 50-point triple-doubles in a season. I'm guessing Russ probably saw that. He's going to be like, all right,
I'm going to do it.
So he is out, and apologies to Eric Bledsoe because we had him up until an hour ago.
Yeah, I know. It's a real shame because he did have a 40-point game. But
and he had an historic night for the Phoenix Suns. Like, Steve Nash was like in the stat line. But, you know,
it's a hard decision.
It's huge, Nicholas. It's huge to make these decisions.
Shooting guard. Deion Waiters. And those of you who watched this game, it's amazing. Watch the last 30 seconds.
Watch the arm fold.
Deion Waiters led the Heat in an upset win over the Warriors, shooting a go-ahead three game winner over none other than Klay Thompson. He's had a few of those.
Yeah, because it's a real shame. He's their best defender.
Yeah, but it's a real shame that they come over him. Yeah. Anyway, he had 33 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists, including that 3-point game winner, which was amazing. Small forward, we've got LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Pretty standard here at JBT. He had another triple-double, but it wasn't enough to get over the Anthony Davis-less Pelicans. I believe that is the same game that Kyrie Irving put up 49 points.
Yep.
And even Love had almost a triple-double as well.
And Drew Holiday was the one that balled for the Pelicans.
Yeah, I mean,
we could have had him as a point guard, but, you know.
Point guards James are stacked.
Harden,
yeah, James Harden's a
huge.
He's an unfortunate fellow.
He was huge.
Well, he's unfortunate for the rest of the league. Anyway,
true.
Power forward, we've got Giannis Antetokounmpo, another staple here in Knicks Picks, especially. Oh, sorry, Knicks Picks.
JB Team of the Week.
I'm going to have to get used to that. JB Team of the Week with 31.7 rebounds, 3 assists, and 4 blocks. I feel that it's his blocks that get him into this. The amount of times that he's been in this team and it's just been, oh yeah, and he got 4 blocks.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade had 7 steals earlier.
His length is impeccable.
So is yours, Nicholas.
Thank you. And girth.
It's huge, Nicholas. It's huge.
It was perfect. That was perfect.
Let me do setter. DeMarcus Cousins, who is another huge man himself, had a near triple-double. And Boogie's not known for putting up his triple-double. You sounded like Jimmy Carr there with that laugh. DeMarcus Cousins had a near triple-double in the Kings' win over the Cavs, one of our games of the week, posting 28 points, 11 rebounds, and a hefty 9 assists.
That's a lot of assists.
Speaking of hefty, Nicholas. Wink, wink.
Don't raise your eyebrows.
Milhouse, lower those eyebrows.
And the other one.
You can't see me, but I'm trying to lower the other one.
I can't even raise one eyebrow.
I can't do one.
It's like it goes into a weird frown.
All right.
Anyway, enough of that. We can see it.
Do the JB Team of the Week, mate. Recap it.
All right, recapping here. We've got the point guard James Harden, shooting guard Deion Waiters, small forward LeBron James. Power forward, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and at the center we've got DeMarcus Cousins, capping off another JB Team of the Week.
Stat of the Week, Nicholas.
Yeah, it's pretty huge, mate. The Warriors have not lost consecutive regular season games since April 2015.
Jesus.
During that stretch, they've played a total of 132 games.
I think.
And have never lost back-to-back.
That makes me sad because it makes me think about my Nets. And I don't think we've won consecutive regular games
You may have that, yeah. Consecutive, you've only won 9. This year.
Well,
so consecutive games, I doubt you've done it.
I don't think we've done it this year.
You had a good start, so you might have picked it up there.
Yeah, I know. I think we won like a solid 5. I think we would have been around 400-500. Now we're at about 2,500.
Yeah.
Yay, Nets!
Yay! It's tough to be a Nets fan. But yes, that stat, very nice to be a Warriors fan at the moment.
Very huge, Nicholas.
If you're a Warriors fan,
stay woke.
Keep the faith that when you lose a game, you will not lose the next one.
Yeah,
keep this streak going.
When you have Kevin Durant and Zaza.
And Zaza's a big player.
Big player. And speaking of Zaza Land, Nicholas, get on to our off topic. That wasn't the best segue, but it wasn't bad.
Considering the people who didn't listen to last week's episode would not know what Zaza Land is.
31 people listened to it, Nicholas. So.
Yeah! We're getting up there.
Yeah, killing it. So what's the off topic that I actually picked this
you
week.
You actually picked it this time. Yay. Good stuff there, doing something for once.
It's not food. I did this entire bloody Google Doc, you bum. And I'll probably have to do it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because you'll be doing all the editing when I'm gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
I need to do the soundboard stuff. Anyway, that's
talk about it after the podcast on the break.
Yes. Off topic this week, in honor of the Oscars that are very soon.
Yeah, the nominations soon, came out and stuff.
Yep. Me and Jack, the J-Man, Jack and I.
At the J-Man JBT.
Are going to pick our top films and performances from 2016-17. And for those of you who are a fan of my Empty Bottle Media thing.
Hell, I was about to give it a shout out.
This is fairly reminiscent of that. And for those of you who weren't fans, fair enough. Because it was not good.
I liked it.
See, you liked it. I think Chaz really liked it, but Chaz had a lot to do with the editing, so he had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, Chaz killed
my
it.
My opinion was, like, moot. I couldn't do it.
I liked the ones where it wasn't movie reviews, though. Like, I liked the Space Jam one.
The Space Jam one was good,
because you got Asher.
When I tried to talk about films, I was trying to...
Your only adjective was fantastic. It's just simply... Fantastic.
It is fantastic. I don't actually think I've overused... My vocabulary is growing, thanks to JBT.
Yeah, well, thanks to me, because I have an actual decent vocabulary, because I'm decent at English. Like, whenever you do the Google Doc, it's hard to understand, because your grammar is...
Hey, step off!
Clearly. Get out. I can get out. All right, should we go to, like, one movie at a time, or should we do our list? What should we do?
I reckon we just freeform here, mate. Just
freeform? Rightio, Nick.
Slam poetry this stuff.
Slam poetry.
Yeah.
La La Land is my best milm of the year.
Milm? You said milb.
Yeah, I did say milm. I was trying to say, like, massive and film. So La La Land...
I'm good at vocabulary.
Maybe milm is a word. I don't know.
It's not, Jack.
Neither is mass... What was your one last week?
Dramatically.
So
that is a good word.
So you can step
new
off
JBT
as well, mate.
New words.
Yeah, JBT hashtag new, JBT new words. New
off topic.
Hashtag alternative words.
All right, let's got a bit sidetracked here. Now our picks differ a lot here because I haven't seen of the Oscar films,
and you haven't seen La La Land. Still,
no, I know.
Come on, mate.
It's probably going to be the point where. I'm going to wait for Chaz to buy it on Blu-ray and just watch it here. Jeez. So it's going to be a while.
That's
I don't know. Convince Chaz.
Chelsea, see La La Land. You need to see it. I mean, it's very happy and it's for all audiences of all ages.
But we'll go through your list and go through the ones that I haven't seen.
All right. So you haven't seen La La Land.
No.
You haven't seen Manchester by the Sea.
Which, I really want to see that one as well.
Yep. You haven't seen The Accountants.
No, but you rave. The Accountant's an interesting pick.
Yeah.
You rave about The Accountant. I'm going to bring it up on IMDb right now and see what rating it has.
I'll keep going with my
because
other films.
It's notorious for getting bad reviews. But
yeah, but don't go by IMDb. Go by, like, Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic. But Fantastic Beasts is one that Nick has seen and he loved. I think we're both in concurrence with that. Arrival as well. Both in concurrence with that. Good to see Villanueva getting some love at the Oscars, seeing as he didn't get it at the Golden Globes. The Nice Guys. Out earlier in the year, bit of a buddy cop comedy.
Oh, The Nice Guys
so
was great.
Good. Russell Crowe and Ryan
Gosling. I love Russell Crowe.
Yeah. I love Ryan Gosling.
Who doesn't, though?
Deadpool, which is, you know, technically last year in the past 12 months or so, which was a great film. Brought back your boy Ryan Reynolds from the dead. Lion, great Aussie film. Lion's Aussie, mate.
Oh, there you go.
A lot of it's filmed in Tasmania. And... Dev Patel, or whatever his name is.
Dev Patel
yeah. has, he's long bottomed, mate. He has gotten fucking sexy. Like, he's got that sexy Indian.
Yeah, look. I mean, from when you see him in Skins
to
where he is now.
Got
yeah.
sexy. And my last one, the movie I literally saw yesterday with my mother, Split, with James McAvoy and another M. Night Shyamalan movie. It'll get your brain thinking and twisted in all weird ways, like... Mr. Shyamalan likes to do with his Sixth Sense and Unbreakable films.
And considering his recent film repertoire, one was quite good.
It was very good.
Well, it's in your list, so.
It's got to be good.
Yeah.
But then again, The Accountant is, so.
Yeah, I mean, The Accountant, I'm at it now. I loved the cast, and the cast really intrigued me. Who have we got here?
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, Anna Kendrick, J.K. Simmons. amongst others. But like those were the big three that made it for me.
You don't need more than that.
And I was interested, but then I saw the reviews. 51 Metacritic, 51 or 50 Rotten Tomatoes, 7.4 IMDb user score.
You can't go by IMDb.
So that's not terrible. But yeah, those. I mean, I saw the trailers and I was like, oh yeah, that looks really
interesting.
Don't
go by critics, mate. Come on.
I'll see it eventually.
Don't
I'll
be
see
a
it eventually.
Sheep. What are your films of the year?
Well, seeing as I haven't seen La La Land, Manchester by the Sea, and Lion, which I
or Split,
and those are four movies that I 100% want to see. I went for a little bit off. Like I went through the movies this year because I struggled to think of any.
I went through the movies with you.
Yes, thank you. Rogue One was there.
Yep.
Solid. For those of you who like the Star Wars one, this is one of the best. This is one of the better ones.
I'm gonna make a confession. I don't know if I've told anyone this. I fell asleep for about 5 minutes in the middle of Rogue One.
Oh shit!
At the start, it started slow, and I still very much enjoyed it. But I probably enjoyed The Force Awakens more. That's just me. It was more...
So do I. I mean, people are calling Rogue one of the best Star Wars
films
movies...
ever.
Ever. And yeah. I've definitely got at least one mate who thinks that.
Yeah.
And I had a discussion with my other WoW friends, my World of Warcraft friends about it, because we're all nerds, yeah. And they loved it as well, so
yeah,
I'm not
really
alone
good.
There. It's a very, very good film.
Yep. What else you got?
The Jungle Book.
Gotta see that.
Great film. Idris Elba as the tiger is... Ooh,
he's a sexy
very,
man.
Very menacing.
Very
well,
sexy
he's,
man.
He's a tiger.
Tigers are sexy.
He got a sexy voice. And Christopher Walken as the monkey was great. That like that little
Bill Murray was in it as well.
Yes, Bill Murray as the bear.
Yeah. Baloo or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Baloo. Baloo.
Baloo. Yeah.
It's just amazing. Bill Murray in himself is an amazing human.
True.
Captain America: Civil War's up there. Again, another Marvel in Doctor Strange. I like Doctor Strange more than Captain America.
Right. I still haven't seen either.
I don't know. The Cap films are one of the best Marvel films in terms of actual, you know.
Cinematographic. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
That's not a word, but you know what I'm talking about in terms of their value. But I love Doctor Strange. I love Benedict Cumberbatch.
Even though he dated Taylor Swift.
Don't care,
no, that was
mate.
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, that was Tom
My
Hiddleston.
My bad.
Loki.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Fantastic Beasts, like you said before.
Great movie.
And another Marvel. Big year for Marvel. Deadpool.
We were concurrent.
Amazing. Ryan Reynolds is one of my favorite actors.
Not Marvel, Nicholas, we're hearing. It's a Marvel character, though.
Oh, Marvel character, but it's owned by Sony or something
Fox.
Like that.
Yeah.
Oh, Fox. Yes, same. Anyway, oh, shut up, Chaz. He's at the back commentating because his movie knowledge
he
is obviously far extensive than mine.
Like, if we were looking at any shelves right now, I don't think I could count.
But yeah, Ryan Reynolds, I don't know. I've got
Ryan
some,
Reynolds
I've
is
got some sort
you.
Of strange
I'm a
obsession
man.
With Ryan Reynolds. He's just amazing.
Hashtag Gosling over anyway. Ryan. Alternative Ryans.
Alternative Ryans.
We'll go to a break and right after that, social media and DBS to finish us off. You're listening to JBT Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at @TheJManJBT.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. I seem to start all the podcasts with kicking off here. We'll start with...
Let's say punching off here.
Punching. I hate you so
it's,
much.
It's the opposite of kicking.
Yeah, I know, but it's just... We're going to start here with our social media section, as always in the last break of the podcast. So... Just
Nick,
rehashing.
Give us the Twitter handles, mate. That's
yes,
the that's important thing.
Rehashing where you can catch us. You can tweet stuff or Facebook post stuff. Hashtag JBTPod. You can catch us on Twitter at JBTPodcast, as well as our own personal Twitters at JBTRealNJ and at TheJManJBT. You can hit us up on Facebook at Facebook.com/JBTPodcast. You can ask us questions through email, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. And why not, you can hit us up on Instagram if you really wanted to.
Yeah, we've got a couple of likes,
at jbtpod on Instagram.
And the ratings and reviews have stalled, peasants. We need
for a few weeks now.
Now, we need your sister especially, Nicholas.
Yes. Gonna have to
give her
hijack
like,
her stuff.
Yes, like shout her out. Like, she may be pregnant. Or is it your other sister?
I think it's my other sister.
Okay, well, your other sister...
Well, my older sister
she has
hasn't,
no
done
excuses
it, hasn't done it either.
So that's 19 we could have. We're almost at the magical 20 mark. Anyway.
Chaz, you should do it. Oh, no, he did gravy.
Chaz did, like, gravy.
Yeah, gravy. Our podcast is gravy.
Damn straight.
And gravy's good. Gravy's nice.
Well, oh, it's just brown and water.
It's, thank you. It's just brown and water. We've woven in a few Simpsons quotes here. I like it.
It's been a huge podcast,
and,
Nicholas.
Yes, a lot of Donald Trump. So we'll kick off here. We've got two things to address in our social media section here. Following the loss to the Pelicans earlier in the week, LeBron James reiterated the team's need for another playmaker. So, do the Cavs need another playmaker, or should they make do with the one they've already had? And this comes in light to all that, but also Stalios, I'm not going to pronounce that last name.
He's just not happy.
Iordanidis? Iordanidis?
Yeah, probably.
I feel that that's right.
It's a huge last name.
So he posted on our Facebook page, just terrible, terrible first half from Cleveland.
Terrible.
They are don't move the ball. Okay.
Get
they,
on the grabber, Stelios.
They don't we move the ball like you, they used to. It's all one-on-one and there's no defense. It's not good enough at the moment. How do you concede 70 first half points to a team without Anthony Davis? We must get out of this slump. My rant is over. Smiley face.
Smiley face, yeah.
Smiley face.
Important point is the smiley face.
So essentially just outing the Cavs' crappy performance against the Pelicans.
Yeah.
So, Jack, addressing those questions, do the Cavs need a playmaker, which has been LeBron's issue that he's been saying, or should they make do with what they already have?
We both have differing opinions on this. I think that it can't hurt. And, I mean, LeBron, Daddy LeBron gets what he wants. But there's not really a market out there to get what LeBron really wants. They almost have to sort of, you know, wait for JR to come back.
He's been a big loss.
I think LeBron's just probably getting a bit tired playing so many minutes. Like Ty Lue's been playing both him and Curry quite heavily.
Mm.
And I mean, he is the genuine playmaker creator for other players on that team. It can't hurt having another player off the bench. But what? Who do you get? Nate Robinson wants a call up, and I'd love to see Nate Robinson in a Cavs uniform. Another one of those small guys out there. Give Nate Rob a call. Maybe there's talks of a Kendall Marshall as well. I mean, you know, Rajon Rondo and Ricky Rubio.
Well, Rajon Rondo, in terms of playmakers, is a fantastic playmaker.
But like, fantastic is he, Nicholas?
Been caught out.
Bang! He uses fantastic. This is a fantastic.
He is a great playmaker. Still. Yeah. Disciplinary issues obviously have been his main thing the whole time. But you're right, it can't hurt, but it's needless. And that's my opinion on it. It's just, you've got one of the best playmakers in the freaking world. You've got the best player in the world on that team. And there was an argument on TNT between Shaq and Charles Barkley about this exact situation. And Barkley was saying that it's needless. They've got the best player in the world in LeBron James. They've got one of the best ISO players in the game being Kyrie Irving, who can create shots for himself, hit down some clutch playoff shots in the playoff series last year, and even this year in the Christmas Day against the Warriors. He has the capabilities.
He does.
I think that they might be overreacting to the slump they're in right now. Yeah. It is a bad slump, don't get me wrong.
Toronto's in a somewhat of a slump as well. Boston were, I mean,
considering where the Cavs were, Wizards are only three games behind them now.
Yeah, January seems to be the time of year where a lot of teams will have those ups
and
downs.
I mean, you'll have an All-Star, you'll have a break for the All-Star game. Regroup, obviously that's still a month away, so you'd hope that they'd get the train on the rails soon.
Yeah.
But I think it might be a bit of an over-exaggeration. They didn't finish first two seasons ago. They still went to the NBA Finals, like when they lost out to the Hawks.
Yeah.
I still think they're fine.
Yeah.
Going back-to-back is hard, though. So
it
I think
is.
That might be
and
the main thing.
That's the main thing. I think it can't hurt if it's not going to kill your luxury tax, which they've already done.
They're about 50 million over. Pretty far in the red.
So you might as well. It can't hurt to see what Nate Robinson can do, see what Kendall Marshall could do, see what those sort of guys, you know, might be able to do on maybe a 10-day or a 1-year contract, or see if anyone gets picked up off those waivers. You know, Quincy Acey's been balling with the Nets, mate, on his 10 days. So who knows? You make the most of that opportunity. But Cavs are fine. Stelios, they're the number one.
Don't worry, mate.
It's
yeah.
like the Warriors when they were going through. No,
the
they
slump at the start.
Yeah,
and people were losing their
one,
shit.
That
the
one game slump.
Yeah,
which they still.
Which was the Spurs, the opening game.
Exactly.
And like, what is happening to this Warriors team? And now they're top and absolutely dominating.
And
still.
Yeah, no one's gonna beat them. And
no,
it's fait accompli that it's like unless Steph Curry gets injured and KD gets injured and Klay gets injured, then
so yeah, exactly. So as I used to say in the JB Team of the Week, the year is long, Stelios. The season is a very long season. A 1 month slump isn't going to be the end of your organization. And considering the amount of games you've lost, you're still first.
Yeah.
Like, you're still top of the East. I wouldn't stress too much about it. If it continues for maybe another month, then maybe. But at the end of the day, you make playoffs and you're going to do all right with that team.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
They're a playoff team.
Yeah.
Quickly, Nick, Magus hit us up on Facebook last night at my going away. I'm not sure if I want Melo on the Clips. I think he'd be better on the team with CP3 and Doc compared to the Knicks. But I don't want to give up three role players when we already don't have many good ones already. We're good for underperforming superstars already. Quickly, just give us a one-word answer. Would Melo fit better with the Clippers or the Celtics? And no, two-word answer. Two questions. Does he fit with the Clippers? And or Celtics, and do you think he will go and make an impact?
Well, it's just a matter of whether he can improve.
That is
his
a lot more than two words, of course.
Is whether he can improve his shooting performance. Stop counting.
That was about eight words.
If he can improve his shooting performance and be that role player that the Clips possibly need, then sure.
Yeah, he ain't going anywhere. Let's just move on.
Phil
Jackson generally gets what he wants. He's used to that. But I can't see this happening before the trade deadline because both teams don't have enough to give each other in terms of that.
Yeah,
but
at the end of the day, it's Melo's decision whether he wants to leave, and he doesn't want to waive that no-trade clause, so then it doesn't happen.
That's it.
No trade happens.
DBS this week is inspired by Luke Magri, who we've said we will do this one for a while now, and we've finally got to it. For those who are new to the podcast, this is how it works. We've been given three basketball players, either past or present, and we have to decide who we're going to drop, bench, and start. It is that simple. Who are our three players? Nick, nothing, real,
all right,
and Jay.
It is inspired, obviously, a suggestion from Luke Magri, but it is inspired by all ex-OKC players. So you can probably guess who we're going to pick here. Three of the best players in the league in James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook. Jack, who you got? What you got?
Dropping Harden, benching Westbrook, starting Durant.
You're dropping the MVP.
Why not?
I guess it's your podcast. You can
damn
do what
you can get out.
You get it. any justification for that?
I've dropped Durant too much in the past, and I feel maybe. Durant's having a historically efficient season with the Warriors. And I've hated on him a little bit, and I've probably given him too much hate, and I've been drinking a bit too much Haterade.
I like that.
That apple Haterade. Had the sour. The
salty.
The salty.
Salty Haterade.
I sprinkled too much Salt Bay on Kevin Durant. So we're doing the Salt Bay thing. Kevin Durant is the best, for me, the best player out of these three. Shooter, playmaker, or maybe not. Shooter and defender. He's the best out of the two.
And
playmaker,
defender's probably the big one this season.
Oh, yeah, he's been
absolutely
monstrous,
yeah,
in terms
amazing
of protecting that rim. And everyone didn't really expect it, apart from probably the Warriors. They knew what they were sort of getting into, and he proved it in the finals the last year.
Mm.
But benching Westbrook because I benched Harden last time, and I'm a little bit scared that if Russell Westbrook were ever to catch wind of this podcast and hear me dropping him, he would hunt me down and get my ass, to quote him.
Get my ass.
Like, he said he's going to get Zaza's, and he might get Jar Jar's. Jar Jar's not a good name.
No, it's
never
not.
Never call me Jar Jar.
The J-Man. yeah, all right, fair enough. I mean, I've gone for a more correct DBS.
Ooh!
Starting Harden.
I'm getting out of the country based off that.
He is
alone
starting to expand that gulf in the MVP race. That gap is starting to become really, really big. And I'm dropping Westbrook because I'm benching Durant. And for the same reasons that you started, Durant, amazing defender. Like, defense has been his thing this year, and still crazy efficient. Like, I'm pretty sure he's still shooting like 55% from the field.
I'm gonna tweet at Russell Westbrook right now, mate, that you're dropping him. Keep going with your reason. Oh, I'm tweeting at him.
He's gonna come and get my ass.
He's gonna get your ass.
But yeah, I mean, you can't drop James Harden. He's the best player in the league right now. He's the MVP.
He just got a 50-point triple-double.
He just got a 50-point triple-double. The second 50-point triple-double this season, which is another historic event, along with his 50-15-15 game. So he's breaking records left, right, and center. Very reminiscent of Steph Curry's performance in his unanimous votes when he was breaking records left, right, and center as well. And then, yeah, for the same reasons, Kevin... Well, not the same reasons, but same reasons that you said, Kevin Durant definitely... playing defensive, possibly defensive all team. Oh, what is it called? Defensive team of the year.
Yep.
In that small forward position, or even push out to power forward because Kawhi Leonard is gonna be in there somehow. And yeah, because of that, I'm dropping Russell Westbrook. Unfortunately, he's still an amazing player, but not as good as the other two.
I've just tweeted Nicholas at Russell Westbrook at RussWest44 at JBT Rule NJ dropped you in our DBS this week on our podcast. Hashtag alternative facts. Hashtag Nick Nothing. Hashtag I didn't drop you.
Oh my god, he's gonna get the plane down on the All Star. Oh no, he's playing on the All Star break.
Exactly.
He's got no time to get my ass. I am home free.
Well, you're pretty far away from him in Oklahoma,
yes,
and in Altona Meadows.
Yes, it is. Don't disclose where I live.
He lives in Altona Meadows. I don't even know the street name, so I can't.
Exactly.
You're at my house right now. Chaz just called out. If you're listening very closely, you can hear Nick Nothing.
Just as ever, guys. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Bought Thinks NBA Podcast. You can find us on iTunes or any decent pod center. And remember to rate and review the show because it'll help others find us to help add to the conversation. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can hit us up on Twitter at JBT Podcast or using the hashtag JBT Pod. You can get in touch with us personally on Twitter at JBT Real NJ and at the J-Man JBT as well. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/JBT Podcast or Instagram at JBT Pod and also through email at JBTPodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it's you guys that make this show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week, keep balling, superstars.
Huge!
Hashtag KBS.